Mickey Hart here, you're listening to the GAA Football Show.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.
I'm not finished yet, it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
Listen, we have a brilliant show, two brilliant panels. First panel is a hurling panel. We have no fewer than 8 All-Ireland medals on the first panel. Second panel is a football one, and we have an endangered species. We have a Mayo man with an All-Ireland medal on the second panel, David Brady. Give it up, Mayo, for Sam. But first, before we get into the lads, I said we'd have a few special guests coming in as well. So please give your hands, put your hands together for Joe Brolly.
You hear me, yeah?
How's it going, Joe?
All right, Park, you're the correct lad.
Big day.
It's great to be here, lads. Huh? Look at yous all. I tell you. Crowd of Scobies now, huh?
I presume your money's on Slot Nail tomorrow.
Oh, they don't know. Anyone from Slot? Is there tonight? Fair play to yous, lads. I tell you, we're going to do it. My prediction now is that the Kerry lads are going to wilt. You know, the Gooch, the whole lot. You know, Gooch is going to do what he does in the big day, you know. He's going to choke. Without a shadow of a doubt, you know. And I tell you now. Back, put your money on Schlock Neil tomorrow. It's going to happen, lads. I promise you. Like,
what do you think of the panel here?
Well, I'm looking around at the panel now, and I see you've the great Joe Kernan down there now, huh? Joe, lads, is one of the all-time greats. You know, just go and ask him; he'll tell you himself. Tell you. And then where's Brady? Huh? It's funny that you know it's not in a final, you know, and you've a Mayo man up talking about it. You know, it's a wee bit strange, you know. Dave, you've an All-Ireland medal, do you? Huh? You smart bastard, eh? but you do, don't you? You won it there in what? Who did they beat? It was a club all Ireland. Yeah. Who'd you beat? Boy. Parkinson's team. Would you believe? And you bet who in the semi final? Cross, was it?
Beat Cross McGlenn, yeah.
Well, Joe Kernan's wife said to me a few minutes ago, she said, "That bearded bastard Derry," she says, "he got my young fella Stephen sent off in the semi final." Is that true? Is it?
I don't think Stephen was playing. This is 2004. Come here, any advice for the panel before you go? You're obviously the big dog, the biggest pundit in the country. Any advice for them?
Well, lads, just get up and enjoy yourselves, you know, and just give it everything, like, you know. Because, you know, I know you've the talent, Brady, but you need bigger profiles. Same with you, Joe. Start saying more controversial stuff. You know what I mean? You got to do it. You got to get yourself out there. And if all that fails, fucking donate one of your organs or something. I swear to God, you'll get fucking huge crack out of that. People will love you after that, lad.
Des Cal, you must be really proud with Coola in the final tomorrow.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah, Coola, you know. I can't wait for the game now, you know. Obviously, I've been busy enough, I have, you know, with the old dancing and stuff, so I haven't been really that involved, but look, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. It's going to be great, Colm, yeah.
Yeah, how's life being a dancing superstar now?
Great now, you know, I've enjoyed it, you know, it's different, you know, but Karen's good old crack, I'll say that much, you know.
Yeah, you looked a bit stiff up there.
Well, I'll tell you, Colm, if you were dancing with Karen, you'd be stiff as well. I was fucking trying to hide it, lads, I was, that's why I looked like that the whole time.
Gerard Lochnan, it's great to have you on Coppers.
Just give us a second to put on my head, will you, huh? Well, lads, what's the crack, eh? What's the story, lads, eh? I tell you, it's not my first time in Coppers, eh? It's not my first time here. I done some damage down here during the fucking good years, eh? Back in 97 and that, eh? I remember one night I met an American out there in the smoking area, eh? And she said to me, she says, "I love the accent, Joe." And I said to her, I says, "Have you any Irish in you, eh?" She says, "No." I says, "You like some, eh?" And I went down the trees. She brought me out the back. She brought me out the back. And I tell you now, Parky, right, between myself and yourself, I have not seen wrist like that since DJ Carey, lads. Absolutely. Oh. I was like a man in the electric chair, so I was, eh?
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Joe. What do you think of the panel here tonight?
In fairness, now you've some good lads there tonight. Eh? You've Brady there, eh? The big head in him. Eh? He's all right. Eh? And what's he doing here?
He's on the hurling panel.
That gutless fucker from Galway, Ollie Kenning, eh? Eh? You gutless shower of shits. I tell you, there's not a ball bag between 30 of them down there in Galway, eh? Ollie, what did you say about me, eh? What was that? What did you say about me now? What did you say? What was it? The highlight of John Loughnane's career in Galway was a 10-point drubbing to Kilkenny, eh? Answer me when I'm talking to you, Ollie. Is that what you said? You're full of shit. You, and I tell you now, tell that fucking brother of yours that I'll do him any time as well. Joe, the big head in him, thinks he's great, eh? Don't fuck around with Joe Loughnane.
Right, Joe, relax, Rex.
My name is Joe, Colin, relax, right? Get relax. It right. You stupid.
Before we finish up, any prediction for tomorrow or anything?
Well, you put me on the spot, eh? Haven't you?
I didn't, it's written down here.
Was it, eh? I tell you, eh? It's the last time I'll do a gig with you, eh? Listen, lads, I'd like to make a prediction. And listen, you want me to put my neck on the line and make a prediction? I'm sorry, I can't. Because I have no neck, lads. I'll see you there. Good luck. Enjoy the show.
Give it up for Joe Loughnane. I forgot to say hello to our Facebook Live viewers. How's it going? Give it up for our first panel. It's Ollie Canning, Paddy Staple, and Damien Hayes. All-Ireland final day, lads. Tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day. Boys, you're well used to this, Ollie, Damien. Four All-Irelands each?
Four, yeah.
Is St. Patrick's... Damien, St. Patrick's Day, All-Ireland club final day is a big day in your house. It always has been.
Yeah, brilliant day, Colm. Delighted to say we played in five of them. Won four. We got beaten by Ballyhale in our quest to do three in a row. It is a great day. It's a great day for the family. It's a great day for the club, neighbours, the parish. It's something very special, and it's something that might only ever happen once in a lifetime. And we were very fortunate. We had a group of players that went up and played in Croke Park on St. Patrick's Day five times. And to win four of them was incredible. So, yeah, extremely special.
What are you like, lads, on this whole? Because it's entrenched in St. Patrick's Day, but a lot of people think now it should be moved from St. Patrick's Day to the previous year and finish things in a calendar year. St. Patrick's Day wouldn't really be the same without it in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, I think, years ago it was the Railway Cup was played on Patrick's Day for years, and that was a big day in the GAA calendar. But I don't know, logistically, if it's possible, because you have the Munster and Leinster Championships. We don't have it in Connacht, obviously. But, you know, I think counties are so difficult to finish their county finals sometimes, even coming into November, December. I really don't see how it's going to be done.
Yeah. What do you think, Paddy?
I think it probably will have to be changed. But it takes just total wiping of the whole board and everybody come together, you know, because I suppose I was involved in looking at it and maybe talked about it earlier in the year. And I think it kind of has to be done at some stage. You need a fresh new start and a fresh new year, and it's getting very, very messy. But as you say, like St. Paddy's Day is synonymous with it. Our own club won it, Jesus, 30 years ago now, and, you know, very special memories for everyone involved, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I mean, you want it before Christmas because you want to give it the standing that it deserves. Like, I mean, it's on tomorrow. There's a full round of National Football League on the next day, you know, whereas it's on before Christmas, it's the only show in town. Like, the provincial clubs, yeah, maybe gets a little bit lost coming into the new year.
I would agree with you, Colm, but the only way it's going to be sorted is that if club games are being played during the summer, and that's the only way they can speed the whole thing up. There's too many club games being called off for county games to give them chance to play their games. Some teams are waiting their 6, 7, 8 weeks to play a match. And unless them games go ahead during the summer, St. Patrick's Day will always have the Club All-Ireland final on. And unless they can speed them up, maybe they'll get the final on in the end of the year. But as I'd agree with Ollie, I can't see it ever changing. Or not in the near future, I know, and I still see St. Patrick's Day will be the day of the Club All-Ireland.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about the Galway Club Championship, lads, because in your time winning All-Irelands, I think four teams got to All-Ireland finals, 3-1, and then you've Athenry to throw in the mix as well. So it's a seriously tough competition just to get out of Galway. Now, you have a handy route then to a semi-final, but we won't mention that. But here's a clip about how tough the Galway Club Championship is. We have some video footage here. It's pretty famous video footage at this stage of I think it's a county final, Loughrea. If the video would come on, I've given lots of hints. This is the great Johnny Marr.
Shin Boutin, August Williamson, oh Johnny Marson, Dara Boylan. Oh Johnny Marr, well.
This was live on TV, like this nearly shut the whole country down.
For hearing the turn after a hash, Susan Shin, he leaned out for you for Volshe, Cahal Burke, August Gorbulche, Robert Murray, for Herring Shitras, no Urho and Shinlesh and come on.
Well, I said Trish Lowert, Neshnam Weir Kuhl, August Hashe Shula Machanish, Cahal Burke, a dine as well.
Lads, that's the great job. Give it up for the great Johnny Marr there. Lads, is this like, is this, Ollie, is this the wild, wild west when you play Loughrea?
It's wild enough down there, in fairness, but look, we can all pick, I think, to be fair now, we can all pick clips out of different competitions up and down the country, and I know there's always incidents in games, but I don't find it any tougher than when I go to look at Tipperary games, for example, or I've seen a couple of Kilkenny championship matches as well. And it's hard going, like, you know, I saw Colin Finlay and Jackie Turrell coming to blows there one day, and they go and win All-Irelands together, and it's not, you know, it doesn't make headlines the way sometimes it does in Galway. So I don't find it any tougher than any other championships I watch. There's always going to be incidents, and I know we can pick out that incident there, but I'm sure we'll find a few more incidents around the country if you look for them.
That went live on TG4. That's why everybody saw that. What's he like, Damien, Johnny Marr? Like, nobody... He actually slayed about three different fellas there, and nobody put it up to him at all. He just...
Look at Colm. Everyone knows that the best hurling championship in Ireland is in Galway, right? We've proven it. We've won so many county championships. Galway club hurling is very tough. It's very competitive. You get stuck into it. It's a game of hurling. It's a man's game down in Galway. We take it very serious. It's not a game of tennis, so we'll get stuck into each other, right? Simple as that, right? We take our club hurling very serious. We take it with pride. As Ali said, there's probably clips in other county championships that would, but it's highlighted in Galway. But as I said, it's a man's game. It's not a game of tennis. We're not playing snooker, so we get stuck in each other, and that's why a county medal in Galway is very precious.
Yeah, it is very precious, but you didn't answer my question on Johnny Marr there. Are you afraid he's watching?
Last time I spoke to Johnny Marr was when I was a Galway minor, and he was the finest back then, so I take it he's still the finest.
Have you marked him, Ollie?
I was probably a bit small. We'd had a couple of more lads in Portumna with a bit more height. Johnny's a big guy. He's probably 6'3" or 6'4". Very tough competitor. He's a hardy guy. Eugene McEntee usually picked him up when we'd take on Loughrea, and Eugene was cracked enough himself, so he was always able to go toe-to-toe with Johnny. So I came across him a few times, but look, we always left the field. We shook hands after the match and walked off, and that was it, you know?
Yeah. Paddy, what's it like Tipperary? We don't have examples of that. I'm sure that kind of thing goes on, but like, you're coming back from being an inter-county player, winning All-Irelands with Tip. Like, you're a marked man then in a club game. Like, I mean, and there are weapons there to be used.
Luckily, I was the one marking people. Now.
You were doing the hatching.
So I was coming from the back. I was well able. But definitely, and I think you see a lot of these unbelievable county players, and they come back to club action the week after, and there's two and three lads on them. And I'd say, you know, Damien has got it enough in his time that you look like this unbelievable player, and the week after, you're getting absolutely axed down. So I remember marking Johnny Maher not too long after that incident now, and half back, and I said I'd pull back right away from him and mind the full back line because I didn't want that happening to me.
And he was on his best behaviour that day? Or?
He was, yeah. It must have been important enough. He saves him for the big matches.
Saves it for the televised matches, yeah. Maybe. But you had a huge run in with them, Ollie, didn't you? And it almost, like, you didn't play with the county the following year after, like, because I think Joe got a bad doing. Like, you know, how toxic did that day get?
It was a tough day, and I mean, you know, I think after that match, you know, everyone agreed they won the game, fair enough. But there was a, you know, an investigation, and there was suspensions handed out after the game. And you know, we personally, I just felt that it didn't reflect what happened on the day. And I've been asked this question, you know, why did I stepped away from it? I really didn't have the heart to go back into it. And I always believed if you're going to go in, you go in 100%. If you're 90%, and by the way, I had no problem with any of the Loughrea team or Loughrea players. We went over on the Monday night and we had a few pints over in Loughrea, as we do in Galway. The team that loses goes to the winner's town or village the next day, and you have a couple of drinks.
Yeah, that's a stupid tradition, really, isn't it? Like, when it is, though. I mean, it can be nice, but it can kick off as well. I've seen it happen.
Well, nothing kicked off in Galway anyway. Willie, maybe down in Leash, maybe something else. But, you know, we went over and that was fine. But, personally, my heart just went out of it for that time. And then, you know, over time, you know what I mean? You kind of, time is a great healer, as they say. But definitely the following year, my heart went out of hurling and representing Galway that year. And I just had to step away. Now, some people look at that and say, oh, yeah, Ollie, I was upset about it. And I wasn't going to go in there and participate and not be 100%, because you have to be, and you can't go in at 80 or 90% and just go in and get the jersey and go in for the dinner
and
get the gear.
If you were that upset with it, though, how would you not have any problems with the Loughrea players? Because they obviously overstepped the mark that day.
Things happen in games all the time, and there are incidents, and definitely a couple of incidents that day. But, I don't really want to go back over old ground here, Willie, by the way, okay? So there was incidents that day, and I personally feel the incidents in particular were not dealt with in the investigation and the follow-up suspensions.
Okay.
And that was the problem for me. Not the players, not the Loughrea club or anything like that. But some people will paint it a different way and put their own slant on it. There's nothing I can do about that, you know?
Yeah.
And lots of the Portumna lads went back, and that was fine. But I wasn't going to go back at 90%, no way.
Because
my heart wouldn't have been in it, and I'm not that type of player. I'm either all in. I'm no good to a team if you're not 100%. And there was county board investigations and stuff, and there's no way I was going to get on a bus with them lads. And that's just the way I felt, you know?
Yeah. What were you like at that time, Damien? Were you trying to twist his arm, or were you saying, leave him off?
Obviously not. We were trying to get all the best players back in with the county, but as Ollie's explained himself, when his heart wasn't in it, he just needed time out, you know? But I'd have to agree with Ollie. My own opinion back then was what happened that day was wrong, and I'll stand over that. What happened to Joe that day was wrong, and my own opinion is you go out to hurl, you go out to give it everything, and you go out to win. But every person has to go up the next morning and work or go to school or go to college, whatever it is. And I don't see a place in it where there's blackguardism, you know. So what happened that day was wrong. And in the story, we've all moved on for it. What happened happened, and Loughrea won the county championship. We congratulated them, and they moved on, and we moved on, and we won a couple of more, and it's finished. We've swept under the carpet and gone with our lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just add as well? I feel like there's nobody here. You know what I mean? It's not really balanced here. If there's no one from Loughrea to give their side, and it's not about that either. Do you know what I mean, Willie?
I tried to get Johnny Marr, but he wouldn't.
I'm just envisioning. I can envision the comments now in the press and online. It's not about that, like as Damien said. What happened. We all moved on.
We've moved on. Simple as that.
We're not here to make any point or any issue about that.
Yeah, yeah.
It came up and you were asking the questions.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to answer them, you know?
No, that's fair enough. It's noted that I am asking you about this. Paddy, what about Tipperary? Club hurling in Tipperary, for all the underage success you've had, for the brilliant senior team, it's not really translating to the club scene. Like, I mean, Thurles Sarsfields are your best club, and they're kind of flatter to deceive a little bit in Munster Club.
Yeah, very, very hard to put your finger on it. In Tip, I don't know, does everyone know that we have our four divisions as well? So you have North, South, Mid, and West, and you're competing in that, then you're competing in groups to go into the county series. And actually, like, if you're playing a North Championship, there's 12 teams in it. So we've all these kind of knockout matches and sometimes groups in that.
Right.
And then it seems like this big, massive marathon to get through the county series even. And to be honest, at the minute with Sarsfields, I think they're not getting enough of a challenging tip. Probably looks like at the minute. Certainly we played them, we were blown off the park by them this year in the quarterfinal. They won the county final very easily. And I don't know, are you going into a Munster series or an All-Ireland series tested sufficiently? Players are doing things, I suppose you'd say, let away with things that against a very, very good club team like Ballyhale were this year, that you wouldn't be let. They came up against a team that were as strong as them, as physical, as fast, you know, a lot of footballers as well who are, you know, fully grown men, as a lot of club hurlers aren't. And, you know, they found it hard in the day. Now, look, they'll be first to say they should have won the match. And I know they're kicking themselves ever since, but I think the long championship doesn't help a lot of the time in Tip.
So how many games do you have to win the Tipperary County Championship?
Jesus.
You might have to win
every
a lot.
Year could be different, but geez, you could have to. You could have to win 10 matches. You could, you know, between your club matches in the division, just say my division could be 3 or 4 matches. Then you could play a group of 4 in that. It could be 3 matches in that.
No wonder your championship holds up the rest of the
country. Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Paddy wants to get it played before Christmas.
yeah, these matches always you hear about Tipperary.
Yeah, but we've 30 senior teams, which is crazy, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But, like, I mean, that's one thing. You were coming out of Galway. We talk about the Loughrays and you talk about the Thomases and Clarenbridge and all these teams at and Rye. When you get out of Galway, it's not like Paddy saying Materla Sarsfield is there, Damien. You're properly ready to go.
Yeah, well, the last time, the very last Connacht final there was, I think we played a team in Mayo called James Stevens. And it was very one-sided. I think we absolutely hockeyed them. And it was actually the very last... senior Connacht provincial final. So I think where it works in every other county now is the senior teams in Mayo, Sligo, Roscommon, they play against the intermediate county champions in Galway. So then they go on, which, for example, Hashcrofohan have played them teams each year. So yeah, in the last couple of years, we have, we'd say the team that's won the Galway County Championship goes directly to an All-Ireland semi-final. Now, some say it's an advantage and some, you know, but being honest, it can be a disadvantage as well because you could be waiting 3 months, you know, or 2-3 months per game. And I suppose it didn't help St. Thomas this year, who played Ballyhea in the semi-final. And the first half, they didn't perform at all, you know, and really only got into their rhythm in the second half and really got into the rhythm in the last 10 minutes. So some say it's a fierce advantage, but it can be a fierce disadvantage as well. So, but that's the way it works and that's the way it is in Galway, and we go straight to a semi-final.
Yeah, is that's all hindsight stuff. If you win, you're well rested, and if you lose, you're rusty. And that's, you know what I mean? That's the kind of the way it works. But what changed in 2006, lads? Because you were the kind of nearly men before that in a few championships, and then bang, 2006 happens, and like you've 3 and 4 years. Then you know you really took off. What was the spark? Was it obviously Joe came of age? Was it?
Well, I suppose we had a couple of lads pushed onto the team, and even through the latter years, it was Joe and a few more guys. But definitely, he was definitely the help, to say the least. Obviously, but
Joe was like 12 back when he started, which he.
Yeah, I think he was 15 or 16 when he came on the scene first. But we were always there or thereabouts, and it's amazing to win 4. But like myself and Hazy, you're playing for a long time, and it's great to have 4 club championships. It is absolutely
you've
brilliant.
6 county titles and 4 All-Ireland clubs. That's an incredible record as well.
It is a great return, and we had a strong, very strong team at the time, and I think 2006 was a huge breakthrough for us. We played James Stevens in the semi-final. They were reigning All-Ireland champions, and for me, looking back on our career, I don't know if Damien, if you'd agree with this, I felt that day in Turles, that was as close to a perfect performance as we put in a long, long time. We beat them by 12 points and they were the All-Ireland club champions, and we went on to meet Newtown Chandram, who had won 2 years previously. So we had beaten 2 All-Ireland winners the 2 previous years that year. And now we got caught, obviously, after that. We didn't get out of Galway the following year, but when we got out, we won 2 more and got beaten then in a 4th one as well. So it was a great time for our club. But we had a lot of guys that were just mad for road, and really we had a good balance. I think we really enjoyed ourselves, and it's a bit like the Kilkenny team. I think when Kilkenny got on a roll, they become so familiar with each other, and I believe personally that even the nights out after winning county finals, winning club semi-finals, winning club All-Irelands, that brings teams together. And I believe Kilkenny over the years, when they got on that roll, and after 3 or 4 years they were taking holidays together, and I've often said this, the girlfriends were going with them, the wives or whatever, everybody knew each other, and that brought the whole thing together. And I thought that was the same way in Portumna. We were a very, very tight bunch of players. We had 5 or 6 fantastic years there.
Yeah, because the first one was 2006, the last one was 2014. So is that pretty much the same team sticking out there, or is there a bit of turnover there?
We played Athenry there 4 weeks ago in a league game. And that's when we made the breakthrough in 2003. We beat Athenry in a county quarter final. And I remember my cousin Chunky Hayes said to me, just before we played the league match the other day, Jenny Skin, I wonder, is there many of these Athenry lads playing that were playing against us back in 2003? And the truth was, there was none of them, and there was 11 of us.
11?
You know, but just going back to Ollie, you were saying, you know, we won the Club All Ireland in 2006. Was that a golden year? We won our first county championship in 2003, and we thought this was going to happen forever, right? And then we played Dunleigh up in Clonus, and Dunleigh were absolutely brilliant club team, and they gave us a what we call a training that day. They showed us how it happened, right? The following year, then we played at the Ryan County Final, and we got beaten. So we're after winning the county championship in 2003, and next thing in 2004, we're back to square one. And in 2005, when we won the county championship, we realised that we had to make hay, right? And I always remember just the story. Ollie and I were just after getting an All-Star in 2005, and there was a trip to Argentina. And we decided as players that we weren't going to go on the All-Star trip to Argentina, that we were going to stay at home to train to see if we beat James Stevens in Turles to try and make something special for the club. And like the James Stevens boys had a couple of All-Stars that year, no more than Newtown Shandrum had a couple of All-Stars, and they all headed off on their trip.
Right.
But we stayed at home, getting that hard yard, getting that extra training in to try and make the breakthrough. And like when we made the breakthrough in 2005, it was the most incredible feeling. I'll never forget the bus journey home, you know, and the group of players that were there with Bertumna. We wanted to make the most because we knew them players would never come again. Like, it's been 2013 since we won our last Club All-Ireland, which is going on 4 years, and we might never win another one. So we just wanted to make the most of it, Willie. We won 28 competitions as a unit, like, which is incredible. So that's what it was all about for us.
Yeah, you went on a 29-game unbeaten run, didn't you, between 2008 and 2009, which is just incredible. Paddy, like, you're Boris Lee, like, I mean, I'm sure county title you would absolutely, you know, love. You're hearing about all these six county titles, four All-Ireland clubs, sensational. You know, but a county title for a smaller club, like, is the pinnacle as well.
Oh, yeah. I suppose at this given time, I'm just after stepping away from the county and you get back into a club, and that's the ultimate prize, really. Obviously, when the boys won their county final, then they said to themselves, is there another level to go to? And that'd be fantastic as well. But obviously, right now, I'd love to win a divisional. I haven't won a divisional since 2007. And then you'd love to compete for a county final. At the minute, it looks like a little bit away from us. But, you know, when you get a couple of players back, we have a couple of players that maybe aren't playing county that were last year's under 21 and senior level, or minor level, and if you can get them training as a group, you know, you have that little bit of a chance. But geez, winning a county final would be, you know, for me to make my career, like.
Yeah, you see that example of the lads not going on that All-Star trip, you know, you've Brendan Maher and you've Dan McCormack, and you know, little things like that, right? These lads are superstars at the moment, but they're giving that to us, and that would give a club a boost.
Well, I think it does. And the last time Tipperary went out fairly early was 2013, Kilkenny Betters in Nolan Park. And I just remember that year was, you know, coincidentally or not, maybe it was the furthest I've ever gone with the club, which was county semi-final. And it just helps when you have all the leaders together. If all the high standards been driven up, and maybe somebody whose standard down here just comes, it mightn't come up to your standard, but it'll come up to a new level. And if you have everybody, 15 lads in the field, they're all going to one direction, the county lads know exactly what way to play, the lads who are training with the club every night, they know what to play, you're gelling together, it makes it that bit easier. Definitely does. And I've definitely seen it over the while, so I'd say the boys are very good at it. The county lads to come in with the club is so, so important for the rest of the year when the county isn't there.
Yeah, it's just being around. I think with club hurling or football, getting that team spirit and that togetherness is the most important thing, you know, because like that's what everybody says. The county team is like a club team, but it's called that because club needs to be like that. You need that extra bit. You see like examples of Slot Nail beating St. Vincent's, who have like a star-studded team and transfers as well, but this local community that are all in it together are able to beat them, and like that's pretty much sums up club, really.
It does, and sometimes you see, you can often have, when you're playing, you know, club, even in Galway hurling, you can play a team that, you know, you might feel we should be able to turn these guys over, but you know, suddenly they'll lift their game to your level as well, you know.
So yeah,
definitely you have that in the club, and that's what every county is trying to achieve, to try and get that club feeling in the and just going back to the point I made about Kilkenny, they just know each other so well. It's almost like a club team, you know.
Yeah, no, I think it is when you're there that long. What do you think of tomorrow, Damien? I'll start with you. You know, you're down in Clare with the garage. Ballyea, tiny little place. Coola probably have a bigger pick, but Coola are pretty strong favourites to beat Ballyea. Well, not that strong, actually. It's 8-13 and 6-5. Yeah. So they'll be strong enough favourites to beat them. Do you see it that way?
I think Coola have a great chance tomorrow. Ballyea are a very, very small parish. So they're a combined team of footballers and hurlers. They've got Tony Kelly is, I say, one of the best hurlers in the country. He's really driven him to this club at Ireland. You know, Coola are being trained by a guy called Matty Kinney. He trained Galway there for 2 years, so he's done a good job with them. So he has, they have about 7 players that are on the county squad with Dublin. Basically, it's like the saying, it's the country boys now against the city boys. It's going to be dog eat dog, and it's a basic case of who wants it the most. I always found on Club All Ireland final day, the games fly. The first 20 minutes of the game absolutely flies, and you might say to yourself, my God, will you get stuck into it? You only have to touch the ball 2 or 3 times, do you know? So as the game, the team that settles down the most tomorrow, I think it's going to be interesting tie, whoever can get on top early on. But Coola are favourites, but I'm not going to write off Ballyhale. There's great excitement down around Innes, there's around Clare. There's going to be a good support, a good following going up to support the boys, and I'm going to back Ballyhale to win it. I think they're really going to bring a real good high intensity work rate to it, and they're going to give it everything. And I hope to God they do it. I think it'd be great for hurling. It'd be a great story, brilliant story about a very small parish that can do big things when you have all the right things in place with big hearts.
Yeah, the thing about a small club like Ballyhale, Paddy, is that they'll have someone maybe to mark David Tracy. They might have someone to mark Conor Callaghan, but who marks Shute and who marks the other Tracy? You know what I mean? When you've got the array of forwards that Coola have, like, you don't have a matchup for all of them. Like, a small club would struggle to do that.
No, but I think, as I said before, they played Sarsfields already. Maybe Sarsfields aren't at the level of Coola, but they have them forwards. They have fantastic backline, they have great forwards. And Ballyhale, now, most of the matches they probably weren't up to them, but they found a way. I think a lot of that is they're so physical. They're really, really big men. And to get around a big man is very tough. You know, if you have strong men at club level, it's very, very difficult against them.
Yeah.
They have Tony Kelly, right? So they have their own ace in the pack. I think DC is a fantastic hurler. Wing forward, I'd expect to see him for Clare. I think Club All-Ireland Day, I haven't experienced it, but it looks like the team that can settle into it, that environment, a half-empty Croke Park, it's a strange, it's not like playing your local pitch or even in Semple Stadium on club matches, Munster Finals, All-Ireland Semis, it's a lot fuller. So I think, you know, psychologically as much as that, and I think it's odd to play for. Now, I would favour Coola, but if that game doesn't start off the way they wanted or they get frustrated, you know, you don't know. Ballyhale could drive it on with such a close-knit team.
Yeah, there's going to be a new name on it anyway, so it's not like someone will have the experience or have, like, you know, a Portumna who have been there, done that. Both of them will be like rabbits in headlights potentially in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, they're both coming from, they haven't been here before, obviously, so the Clare lads will be coming up from Clare and the Dublin lads will be waiting for them, as I say. A bit like the lads are agreeing with, Tony Kelly obviously is a fantastic player. He's driving a fine car as well from Hayes' garage in Innes.
I can't believe you didn't say that. How long have we been here? 30?
Ollie said he was going to.
Just their days, he's saying. Tony Kelly, yeah, he's brilliant. But I don't even know he is.
Brilliant car too, Ollie.
What is it? A Skoda, is it?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Only the best from Innes. And so, look, at. I think sometimes you have the big scorers. You've got Conor Callaghan, David Tracy for Coola. They've been clocking up huge scores. Conor Callaghan, I'm looking forward to seeing him. He scored, I think, something like 7, 13 or 15 or something like that in the club championship coming into this game. He's a young guy. He's got a lot of experience. Probably Jack Brown or something like that probably pick him up. You can see sometimes in big games like this, the guys that you expect to perform are going to get tied up with probably the best defenders on both sides, and that makes sense. So I think you might see a couple of guys coming to the fore that'll come up with a goal, come up with 1-2 or something like that, and that's where the game will be won or lost, I think. I think Ballyhale came through. Munster, I wasn't that impressed. I saw them in the Clare, the first final. The weather was bad, but I thought it was poor hurling. But the replay, they improved. Then they went on, they beat Turner Sarsfields, they beat Cork, Glen Rovers.
Yeah.
And they just seemed to improve all the time. And maybe it was just the confidence they were getting as they went along. As Tony Kelly said, he didn't think he was only going to make Cusick Park and Innes, he thought, but to make Croke Park is unbelievable. And they were on a bit of a roll.
They weren't actually given a chance in their own county final, weren't they not? No. They went to a replay.
No, they actually called in. I remember after, I think it was the Munster final, they called in to Boris Lee for a couple of pints on the way back. And some of our club lads said to him, geez, lads, were you going well the whole year? And they said, no, they weren't going well at all, just got in the roll.
Yeah, right.
I think club hurling very, very like that. Get the confidence of a club player can be very, very up and down. That belief might not always be there, and they obviously just got on that roll and they're all hurling out their skin then.
And also, Colin, what can be a huge help is Clare were knocked out at the quarter-final stage by Galway. And I often seen when Galway were knocked out, it was just say the quarter-final stage, it benefited Portumna.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, Clare got knocked out at the quarter-final stage. Next thing, all these county players, their leaders, the Jack Brown, the Tony Kellys, went back training with the club like this, and they probably rode it on and drove it into the boys, and the boys started all coming back training, and it benefited the whole squad and the whole club. And every game, the lads were saying down there, they got better and better and better, and next thing, they're after winning the Munster Championship, and next thing, they're just going to go for it. They know that they might never have this chance or this opportunity again, but it often can help when you're knocked out early with the county, which is proven.
Yeah, so you're going for Coola, or you're going for Ballyea, you're going for Coola. Ollie, give you the side.
Ballyea,
two Ballyeas. Okay, yeah. Listen, give it up for a hurling panel. Damien Hayes, Paddy Stapleton, and Ollie Canning. The three lads will be back up in a little while for a hurlers versus footballers quiz. Yeah, is there questions from the audience there? All right, you have questions there. I thought you were telling me to wrap up.
You doubted me. Going to start with Teresa.
Hello. I have a question for Ollie and Damien. If you could trade one of your four Club All-Irelands for a county All-Ireland with Galway, would you?
I'll answer for them, yes.
Yeah, no? I think I'd probably give away one for an All-Ireland. Yeah,
would you give away all four?
No, I don't think I would, no.
No?
No. To win one is unbelievable, and it's a bit like Gooch Cooper is up here. He was a mascot 25 years ago, and he's on record as saying, like, just if you could win one with the club, it would be a fantastic feeling. And you know, club players, you know, other winners of the club championship said it's up there with the All Ireland medal, you know, and it is very, very special. So I definitely trade one anyway for All Ireland.
Mikey, have you any more there?
Hazy, would he trade under?
I would trade one, yeah, for an All Ireland medal. But just going on saying how nice it is to have a Club All Ireland, Conor Hayes said in Laker Gael the other day that winning a Club All Ireland medal was like a working class All Ireland, and I would agree with that. You are what you are. You have the players that you have. You can't bring in players from anywhere around the county. It's a working class medal, and it's a very, very special medal. But would I trade one of mine for an All Ireland senior? Yeah, I'd love to have an All-Ireland senior, but I'm proud to have four Club All-Irelands.
We could do a swap.
Which?
I'd be happy enough too.
I wouldn't swap anything with you, Paddy.
We've swapped enough, will you stop?
If anyone wants to know how to get Damien Hayes for Christmas, box set of Laker Gael. He loves Laker Gael.
Absolutely, love Irish.
A question here from Joe at the bar. Do you remember his question? We have a question from Jonathan at the bar.
Hello, this can go to each of the three lads. Who would you say is the best player you've ever marked, or who you found the hardest to mark?
At inter-county level, we'll say. For the
yeah,
three
inter-county level,
the
yeah.
Three of you is there.
Go ahead, I have to think about this.
I'll go first. So I've always said it, my toughest opponent that I ever marked anyone was Frank Lohan from Clare. I tell you, I earned every inch that I got off that man, and I often left the pitch with more marks on me than I would in the whole year. But he was a fierce, honest player. He was an honest, tough cornerback, and my toughest opponent all my life has always been Frank Lohan.
Right, Paddy.
Yeah, I would have said Damien. I don't think I ever really marked you. So
the last time myself and Paddy met, actually, we met twice. We met in the challenge match in Portumna under lights last year. And at the very end of the match, he gave me an unmerciful belt. And I said to him, what was that about, Paddy? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, I'm sorry. And I goes, you know, it's a challenge match. And the last time we played was in 2010, the famous 2010 game, tip against Galway. And Paddy gave it to me that day as well. And then tonight he says to me, do I want a drink?
In 2010, he thought I gave it him. No, somebody else gave it to him, and you ran over to me, and I was like, hey,
no, Paddy,
go back over to your corner.
No, Paddy, you definitely gave it to me.
So, it's not you anyway, Damien. But my toughest opponent, without doubt, the only man I've ever kind of been awake at night over is John Milan. Just, and a lot of that was Waterford's game plan, I think, around when Davy Fitz had him, was you know, you had a massive pocket of space, and unfortunately I was the one in there with John Milan, so there was no ball struck long really. It was all measured ball, hand passed around the middle, and the minute they got an opening, it was straight in. So very, very hard to even read it. But he was just so skillful. I don't know that he missed a touch in any of the games I was marking him, and he'd be hitting it over the shoulder. You'd say, that's grand now, I've him guided out to the side and up between the posts. So he's definitely, without a doubt, the best player and an absolute nightmare.
Well, that must have been a disaster to try. He was impossible to block, really, the way he threw it up. And yeah.
Running on the back foot, hitting it on the back arm. And he was, I just thought it was phenomenal. And but then if he was in another team, he mightn't have been as focused on by their management as a plus, I think, sometimes. And he might have maybe had a few 50-50 balls in. And maybe sometimes it was kind of at the detriment a small bit, because, you know, we kind of knew where the ball was going. And in a couple of matches, maybe Declan Fannin used to play in front of me. And I remember a couple of games, All-Ireland semi-final, he sat back that little bit more. So a couple of balls that were to go in were stopped. And they were probably trying to keep it around the middle to get that perfect ball in, and yeah, maybe turned over a good few times. You
right.
Know?
Okay, Ollie, you wanted time to think about this, so this be good.
No, I just marked so many people, but I'm going to give you one that you mightn't expect. Niall Gilligan from Clare, I always found it tough. And I
think slittery sort of forward.
Yeah, he didn't look like he was moving that fast, but he was moving fast. And, he just had this big, lazy stride, and a bit like John Milan, on this side, which probably was his favourite side, he used to throw it way out, way kind of up there, and it was almost impossible get to hurley up to it. But I marked him in Pier Stadium one day, and I remember Liam Donoghue was in goals, and he was after taking me for 3 or 4 pints from play, and I was there going, Jesus Christ, didn't think Gilligan was this good. And Liam Donoghue was rising me every time I went back in near the goals. He was there going, Gilligan's making a show of you today, Ollie. He's making a show of you. So I didn't resort to Paddy's tactics here. I played it nice and clean that day. And but he was just an unusual guy. He surprised me, and you know, but I didn't mark him that many times. But definitely the once or twice I marked him, he gave me trouble, you know.
Right, okay. Listen, well, for the second time, give it up for our hurling panel. Damien Hayes, Paddy Stapleton and Ollie Cannon. We'll take a break for 2 minutes and we'll get our football panel up. The lads are going to be back for a quiz at the end. Hurlers versus footballers.
Is the little dink fist pass from a crowded area into that D, we're at home about where Bernard, I've talked to Bernard about, Bernard's very patient. But this little dink ball, you know, the one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken out, hits the ground and it bounces into a fella's chest, and there's consternation then in around the D and in around that area. Watch for this in the semis and the final. Do you know the one I'm talking about? That little fisted ball that's just bounced in a crowded area, but it gets to the
yeah,
body.
You have said it 3 times.
It's in around it. But you're looking at me. You're looking
well,
at me.
A crowded area, is it?
You're looking at me with such a confused head in you. It's like I was talking about you trying to get a point in Coppers or something there in a crowded area. Yeah, watch for it.
All right, you've gone to the toilet, you've had a few drinks. Time for a second panel. It's our football panel. Give it up for Conal Keeney, Joe Kernan and David Brady. You've all won All-Ireland's, lads. I want to kick off this section with another video. So we can play this here now. And I shouldn't like this video, but I do like it, considering the circumstances. Maybe we'll show it if we'll just roll it.
David, Covardicus, what does it feel like?
It's better than I ever expected. We went down a goal and I went, no, no. I just went, this can't happen again. They're a different bunch of players than I ever played with in my life. They're 20, 21 years of age. They've never lost, really. They don't know what it's like to lose. I've been a loser all my life. But today, Hogan standby. We got the cup.
David, I've been a loser all my life.
I know you have a tear in my eye.
That was emotional, though.
Have you been a loser all your life?
I forgot that. This was the guy. Like, I can't believe this, because I'm going to get into this in a little while. They played Cross McGlen in 1999, owned the ball, and couldn't beat them. Kicked a load of wides, and the one day Mayo team comes up and wins in All Ireland is against fucking us. But you that was almost your last chance at that stage, David. There was a desperation about you that year.
I wouldn't call it desperation.
Sorry, in a good way. If I can say that in some bit of a good way.
You know what? It was my 9th All-Ireland final between senior and club. And for me, it was my last throw at the dice. But again, when we played Crossman again back in 98, 99. We led from the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, 51, 52, all the way in the last minute. And we kind of made a promise to ourselves as a club that, you know what, we would get back. And it took a good few years, 2004, 2005. But look, you know, we're here tonight on the eve of the Ireland Club Final. And Damien, I can tell Damien now I'm a working class footballer in a fancy suit. Because he's right, it is the people's championship.
Well, it is.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's the toughest. Like, it's not called the toughest for nothing. You have to win three different stages.
It's definitely the toughest. And the journey is, for me, was the greatest moment of my life as a sports person, because it's the ultimate, because you have your brother. I had my two brothers on the team. I had lived, worked, schooled, fought, slept with some of them, and says in a different context.
It's all right. Well, as long as it wasn't your brothers, I was
going for sleepovers in some of them guys' houses. We were like 6 and 7 and camping outside, and you get to have the greatest moment of your life with them. It was special.
Yeah, because Conal, yours was kind of unexpected at the end of your career as well, because we know how hard the Dublin Championship is to win, and getting out of that, then you might have started believing you have a chance. But like at the start of the year, when you've got the Ballymun Kickhams and the St. Vincent's, I'd say at the start of that year, an All-Ireland club title was way out of your mind.
Yeah, to be fair, it was like we played Croke, Chemical Crokes in the first round. On our team, there's probably about 5 or 6 duo players. So we really turned up the week before that. And Andy McIntyre was the manager, and we said, look, we're really going to concentrate on the hurling this year. We want to give it one crack because we feel there's something left in the hurling team. And he says, look, just give us one game and we'll see where it takes us after that. So we all played the Crokes game and we won that. And it just snowballed from there on. And it probably helped us. We got knocked out in the hurling very early. So we just rolled on. And every single game after that, it just seemed to get better and better. And we really enjoyed it and came together as a team.
Yeah. You have the ability for a big club to have that kind of community spirit. Like you're underdogs against the Vincents and the Crokes and these teams. But you're on a regular basis able to cause shocks like that.
Yeah, I think we're nearly always the underdogs in the football end of things. We seem to always draw Crokes and they are always favourites. Or if we play Vincent's, they're always favourites. And it seems to suit us a lot. You know, I think we have great players and a great team. And if we can get everyone on the field, we're a very hard team to beat. And nobody really fancies playing us. And if we can stay injury free and get and just get a bit of luck, which we got a huge amount of luck last year in the club championship, it just shows how far you go. And once you get out of Dublin, we felt that, look, every other team that got out of Dublin got to an All-Ireland final, so why can't we go a little bit that same step?
Yeah, got a bit of luck against Portlaoise. There's a team carrying on here. Portlaoise seem to be the fall guy here all the time for different teams. I don't know what's going on there.
There was no luck. No, he missed the free.
It was a great save. Brian McCormack, or Durkin save on Brian McCormack was really the turning point of that game. That was a brilliant game.
But Portlaoise had a free in the last minute on the
to draw it,
and he missed it. But they had all the momentum at that stage. And I say if he got that and it went extra time, we were dead in our feet. But that's the luck we got.
That's the way it works. Joe, you're start off.
Sorry, before you start, Colin. Portlaoise did beat Cross Midland, so
yeah, but it was a bloody semi-final.
Yeah. Wally plays for Parnell.
Straight it up in the final then.
One life, two clubs, David. No, because the lads kind of won All-Ireland clubs at the end of their career, but you took over a team, a really young team, that had won 421s in a row, you know, and went on to dominate the All-Ireland club scene then.
For 10 years we won that, and we were very good at winning county titles in Armagh. I think at that time we'd won 21 county titles, but we never won in Ulster.
Right.
We just, a bit like ourselves, went on the beer and didn't think in the Ulster.
I just saying it happens, it was bad luck.
It's not your own, not just yourselves. So, but for 10 years for us not to win anything wasn't good.
So what changed then?
You're right, we got a bunch of young boys through. If you take it back 5 or 6 years before that, these boys won the community games in Mosny. And there was 11 of that team that won the community games in Mosny, went on and played in the All-Ireland final in 97. So those young lads come to it, and there were great lads, the two, John and Tony McEntee, Oisín McConville, Francie Bellia, you know, all those players that went on and played for 20 years. So, you know, there weren't boys that was going to come in and out for a while and then pack it in when they won their first one. But it took us, we won 6 under-21s in a row, but the year in 95 we lost to Mullaban in Armagh. And like we as management, we were being chased and they were going to change the whole thing around. But that actually, heartbreak, spurred us on to win the next year. And in fairness to Mullaghbyn, they hadn't won a senior championship ever, but they won that one, and they didn't even win it. They went on to annoy us even more and won an Ulster title. So the tone was set for the following year, and we met them just out the road in Silverbridge, and there was a battle. You talk about your man from Galway. There was war all together that day.
Really?
Yeah, I just answered for Damien. Damien was going, what is your man Maher like? Like, I think he asked me to say it. He said, just say he is a bollocks. So, I'd say it for you, Damien.
You know we're not on Facebook Live here. That's why you're getting brave.
Are we not?
No, we're not.
All right.
But you would have known that.
Some paper will get it, don't worry.
But it's very easy, Joe, down through the years, and you see clubs and they come in and win an All-Ireland club and then they go. Like, even some young teams, like, they kind of have enough, that's it. But he went nowhere. Like, he just consistently came back every year and were able to be as hungry.
Well, we won the first one, and we were going really well, won the Armagh title. But over the 20 years that we've won county titles in Armagh, the hardest games was in Armagh. We had 6 or 7 draws, lucky to get them. And coming out of Armagh, we actually played better the whole way through. But after winning the All-Ireland title in 97... we got to the Ulster semi-final in 98 and we were beaten by Eric Kilcare and Peter Canavan's team. And I'll never forget the dressing room that day when the game was over. And on the field, because we shook hands with everybody, as you do, but there was devastation in the dressing room. And compared to the year before, there was tears of joy, but there was tears and the pain. And I remember closing the dressing room door and saying to the boys, if yous are hurting when the All-Ireland final's on, the way you are today, we'll be back next year. So that was it. We started off the following year, 99, then we won 2 more All-Irelands. But it was that hurt. They weren't happy with winning 1 All-Ireland. The fact that they lost the semi-final hurt them that much that they wanted to come back for more. And not every team has that, but it was just the makeup of these players that were unbelievable.
Yeah, okay, now maybe the age profile as well. Conor, like, you've got to the top finally now. Is it easy to go, do you know what I mean? I've done that now, and I'm kind of good with my lot.
No, not really, no. It's pretty much forgotten about. You're straight back in. You know, you have a couple of weeks to enjoy it. You go on the beer, you go around at all the local pubs, and you milk it for everything you have.
But were you in here? You are.
A couple of nights, yes. You'd always end out here.
You're always looked after at Coppers here.
No, I think it's well forgotten about. At the moment, we're training really, really hard. Really looking forward to the first round of the championship when it comes around. We got Plunkett, so everything is forgotten about last year. It's all about going forward and wanting to get back there and proving that we're not just a flash in the pan and it's not just a fluke. And it's just, they had a bit of luck 1 year and they won it, but they're back down again. Let's see Vincent's and Ballymun back there again. So that's what we're trying to do and trying to prove people wrong.
Yeah, okay. What about you, David? Ballina never got back.
We went in the beer for the last 10 years. We haven't got to a county final. We're going down to Division 2.
Yeah, you've really gone on a bit of constant slide.
Capitulated.
Why is that?
I think the two most clubs who's won county titles in the history of the GAA is Crossmilligan and Ballina. And that was always something that we were cognizant of as well. Because, you want to have the most county titles won. We won it in 2005, and I suppose the age profile of the team was very young.
Yeah, because in that video you
said
these young
lads. 21, 22, but they lived the rock star life for 3 or 4 years in Ballina. Now, it's a very small star. But
what is the rock star life in Ballina entail?
I know we're not on Facebook, but I'm not even going to say it here. Now, I was one of the elder. I was settled at the time, but there was a lot of them unsettled. And they probably had the best 8 years of their life, but they never kicked real ball after that. And that's the unfortunate thing having a young team. And the same team played each year. No one was brought in. We didn't introduce young players, and that was our downfall.
So they actually did what I threw at Conor. Like, you've done it, and you're happy with it, and that was
it. Well, my answer is I wouldn't have been happy with it. I retired the year after, but it's like everything else. I think we built a lot in the 4 or 5 years between losing the All-Ireland final against Crossmaglen to getting back to the All-Ireland final. And again, I think you can't live in the present. And if it's a team that's winning, you see the Dublin team now as well. They're All-Ireland champions, but they're introducing 2 or 3 players that will guaranteed start championship this year and push a few guys to the side. And that's what you call competition. That's what makes a great team.
Yeah, it's difficult for clubs, I suppose, to get those new lads in every year.
You know, freshness, and you're going, sure, someone that's 18 is not going to break into a team that's after winning All-Ireland for 3 or 4 or 5 years. And unfortunately, that was our
rock stardom and the slippery slope for Ballina.
Right, okay. Joe, talk to us about that 99 final against Ballina, because you really robbed them that day.
Yeah, we were outplayed all over the field that day. But the one thing that we were able to do was keep calm. We didn't panic. We tried to stay with them. And even our star players that day, Oisin, you know, John, Tony, didn't star. Our best player was probably our full forward, Gavin Comiskey. And Gavin was never the most skillful, but as a full forward, he was the perfect man to have in there. And every ball we did get in, he won it. But there was one ball kicked in at the end. He won it. He gave it to the corner forward. And John McEntee just popped it over the bar. And we only did two or three things right in the whole day, but we never panicked. And that was just enough. And I remember talking to the boys afterwards. You know, it was great to win the All-Ireland, but the way we won it didn't do us justice.
Yeah.
We weren't, and I remember going into the dressing room and saying, "Hey, boys, the best team lost." And you know, we were lucky to win it, but we weren't happy winning it that way. And I think we come back the next year and we played in the Fianna and we probably played the best football that was played.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody was brilliant that day. But we won a match we shouldn't win. But that's what teams do, good teams do. And they just had that much of a belief that they would never throw the towel in. And even the likes of Francie was renowned for his so-called toughness. But you could watch Francie with 5 minutes to go, if the game was tight, Francie would push from centre-half to midfield to give a pass, to break a lane, to let somebody go up and get a score.
Right.
So they were all naturals, and they were all leaders in their own way. And while Oisin, the two making tees, Francie were the stars, every other player that played in that team. We only used, of a panel of 28, we used 18 players in 3 years.
Wow.
That's what we used. But those young lads and the subs were immense.
Did I say the 10 lads that didn't get a look in were fairly pissed off?
Well, the funny thing is they weren't. They knew that their job was to perform and train and to push everybody. And I remember one of the young lads, Christy Hughes, we're having a reunion now in a couple of weeks' time on Friday the 31st, celebrate the first All-Ireland and where we went after that. But I remember a young lad, Christy Hughes, in training. And he played about 3 league games that year, never played in the championship that year. And he was the one player stood up in February and says, "Come on, boys, lift it, lift it." He was, they were just a great bunch of boys and worked hard. Like, the difference in what you're saying, your boys, like our boys can party, you know what I mean? If you win an Ulster or county title, there'll be a busload up here and the bus will be parked around the corner. And my wife's down there and she had a home at the home. You know, all get home.
The beacon.
All get home. But they're just the same, but to have that belief and that work ethic that is unbelievable.
Just on that, you're going back, what about the 10 boys that were disappointed? Like, what I think club football is for me, is one man that played for me with Ballina, and you'd never heard of him. His name is Aidan Tighe. We played 13 games to get to an Ireland, and he didn't play a millisecond, 7 minutes from the time in the All-Ireland final. Like, this guy didn't kick a ball for the year. But for all of us, he was a warrior. And if you remember, with around 3 minutes to go, goalie was bet. He was sitting on the line, got a hand to the ball, juggled it, took it off the line, and we broke out. Like 7 minutes for the whole year. We were training from January to March, 14 months. And this guy played 7 minutes. And for me, he won me my All-Ireland. But that's what club is about, and that's what will happen on Sunday. It won't be the superstars, it won't be the county players. They'll play well, they have to play well. It's the guy that you've never heard of that comes on as a sub, and you go, you know what, that's what club football is about. And it is about a panel. Counties are different.
Yeah.
There's egos, there's everything else. There's none of that in a club panel, or there shouldn't be.
Yeah. Conal, what about your All-Ireland final? Because, like, I mean, you blew Castlebar Mitchells away. I couldn't believe it, what I was watching, to be honest, because they had beaten Cross McGlen. Came back up in Breffni Park so impressively. Like, I saw that as a really 50-50 game, but I'd say you're on the pitch with 15 minutes ago going, "My God, this is in the bag here."
You were on the pitch with 15 minutes into the game, nearly saying it was
in
the bag.
Yeah, it
was. Being totally honest. But I think, well, I remember we were watching that game, their semi-final, and Andy said something straight away. He says, "They haven't played on a hard pitch in any of their games." And the next night of training, we went through all the single games that they played, and every single game they played was on a heavy pitch or a tight pitch. And he said, "Wait till we get them to Croke Park, and we'll run them. We'll run straight at them, and we'll get goals." And within two or three minutes, we had our first goal, and then another goal came. And before we knew it, at halftime, Andy just goes, "What did I tell you?
Let's keep going." So I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you all watch? Did you watch that semi-final together as a group?
We were after winning our own one, so we were kind of half watching it and half watching the bar because of the free wire as well. So we were having our eyes on everything. But no, we kind of watched it, but we went into a lot of detail afterwards. Andy was a real stickler for detail on other teams, and especially individuals and how they their game plan and how you can get around it. And he was spot on that day, and he was spot on every single game we played. He had every single team down to a T and how to beat them and where their weaknesses was, and it seemed to work. And look, I know this year is going to be totally different for us, but new management in. But I think we'll be thereabouts if we can get out of Dublin again. But that's the hard thing.
Yeah, geez, I never thought about those boggy pitches out west that you're not used to. Why didn't I think of that?
Soft football or soft pitches?
Because that year, actually, you beat us. You beat a team from Tipperary in an old boggy old match, and you weren't great that day. And like, I remember watching that, thinking, you know, I didn't think there was that much about you, which was probably a mistake.
Jeez, you knew it 2.5 months later. We played a team called Kilmurry Brickham.
Kilmurry Brickham. And you struggled to beat them, didn't you?
Playing football. Not playing football, fighting. Yes. I remember the guy on me. There was a guy put on me called Horse.
You're in trouble straight away.
And all I heard was, "Give it to him, Horse. Give it to him, Horse." I'm going, "Horse, you can be here for the next 2 days, but you're not going." I says, "Do you see them?" I says, "I lost them teeth by letting someone hit me." I says, "Just you can hit away, but you're not winning the game." But he hammered me.
Yeah, so if a horse or a bull marks you, you're a bit of a
horse. Yeah.
Keep moving.
So yeah, we stumbled. We've only bet them by 2 points. But I do think, and if you look at it tomorrow as well, we planned for meeting you in the final probably 3.5 months before that. Because you play a game in December. Now, the law of averages, you're going to play two teams. So you're actually preparing for tomorrow for 4 months when you look at it. You play your Connacht final or a Leinster final on the 1st of December. 17th of March, you're playing A or B. So we had so much work done on yourselves. It was, and that's what's going to happen tomorrow. I think that there's such a gap that tactics are going to play a massive game.
It's a long wait, isn't it? Between the provincial finals, I thought, even from my own point of view, that I was on fire in Leinster, but the break really knocked us back, and then it just never reignited.
Was that the team you headed off to Thailand?
Well, that didn't help. That didn't help.
He was some captain, wasn't he?
That was stupid, I'll admit that.
Nobody told you that at the time. Were you not going to Australia the following day?
The middle of the next week, yeah. Yeah. Ah, look, it was stupid, really, when you look back at it.
Willie comes to me after the All-Ireland and goes, "David, how's it going? Well done. What kind of money did you make in Australia playing football?" I'm going, "What?" He said, "I'm off there next week. Any contacts?"
Listen, the less said about that, the better. Like, I still think about that.
You're having them questions there.
But even just to explain that is that we won the Leinster, and I had the whole way, because we kind of won that county title unexpected because we'd come off two bad years, and I'd planned on going.
And you had it booked anyway.
Well, I kind of had it booked, but I was putting it off and putting it off. And because there's such a bloody long gap, there's a 10-week gap between Leinster, I said I'll go away for 7 of them.
Yeah.
And I'll
have 7 weeks.
3 weeks when I get back.
The boys wouldn't bloody go to Argentina for 4 days.
I know, yeah.
And you're going away for 7. Fair play to you, Willie.
Very good. I was listening to that going, shit.
7 weeks, fair play to you.
7 weeks,
it's a good job you can put
I
on
did
on.
Have a great time. I see. 7 weeks.
Tire time.
Yeah, listen, let's move on from this, lads. Oh,
you were the captain of
the
team.
What?
You were the captain of the team.
Yeah.
How did that go down when you came back?
First week
of January, second week of January, third week of January. Where's the captain?
He transferred to Dublin, Georgia.
I like to say I shouldn't have allowed go. Yeah. I like to say it's their fault for letting me go.
Did anybody tell you couldn't go?
Not really, no.
No.
I was after, because things have been going so well. I was Leinster Club Player of the Year, County Player of the Year.
Oh, sure. No, but you were big in Thailand.
It was almost like...
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Carry on there.
Go on, next question. We move on.
I feel like shit here.
You should have felt it with the rest of your people.
We could suit.
Okay. Right, the match tomorrow anyways, lads. Let's move on before...
Leicester player of the year.
But I'm trying to make the point is things were going so well, I didn't think this was going to mess up like it did. But, Aaron, listen, I don't know what you're laughing at. We beat you when I came back.
Yeah. And then you freaked it up in the final.
Yeah, we did. But it's funny that we did beat Cross McGlenn with me having spent 7 weeks in Thailand.
It was the rooster.
Anyways, lads, right, listen, we'll talk about the match tomorrow before we finish up. You know, you've got a lot of experience with Crokes, and you usually beat Crokes, Joe, you know, Cross McGlenn. And it got a bit bitter with you and Crokes. You know, there was talk of segregating fans, and they wanted your fans separated. It was messy for a while.
That was a stupid statement. I think the chairman came out with, and I think he apologised afterwards, and rightly so. There's no segregation anywhere needed in Ireland, in club or county. But it was hot and heavy, and it was competitive. But in fairness, when the four semi-finalists were named, I didn't pick Crokes or St. Vincent's or Slochneil to win, and that's been honest. But you know, the old story is, on any given day, anybody can be beaten, and the two teams that were in the final deserved to be in the final. They played the best football. They beat the two form teams coming into it, and now the two of them is here. But I have a feeling for Slochneil. They're that close a community, and that's just not me Ulster hat. It's just they won't panic tomorrow. They were here before. They didn't play well 3 years ago.
No, they
were well
down,
beaten. But they seem a different team now. They're more settled. If the Crokes get off to a big start, that could be a problem. But if they can stay with them, the longer the game goes on, Slochneil will grow. And it's not that they have stars all over the field, but they have players that do a job and support each other all the way. Like in the semi-final, what do you call him? Centre halfback.
Against Vincent. Christy McCaig.
You wouldn't have said Christy was going to score 4 points. His job would have been out to mark the best player in the country.
Yeah.
He not only did that with the help of his teammates, he took the chance and he scored 4 magnificent points. And that affects the team. It lifts his own team, and it certainly knocks on Vincent. That everything they tried to do, they just seem to be running up blind alleys. And while if you looked at the both teams on paper tomorrow, you'd say there'd be more stars in the Crokes team, but tomorrow's a different day, you know what I mean? And Gooch is playing deeper. You looked at Gooch, I think he only scored 2 points the last time. You know, you'd be depending on him to knock up 1-5 in most games if he was in and at himself. You know, they're depending on Johnny Buckley, O'Leary, and these boys to get the score. So, no, I think it'd be close, but I think Slochneil just might do it.
Yeah, you'd nearly say if it was close, you'd fancy Slochneil. If Crokes can get ahead of them, maybe the beating they took off Cara Finn in the final might start, you know, thinking it's not our day again. But if it's a battle like it was against Vincent's, Slochneil have that kind of community spirit and that kind of never say die attitude.
Yeah, I think exactly as Joe was saying, they've no real stars, but as a team, and I think that's hugely important, especially in club championship, if you can get everyone playing together and playing really well and as a unit. And I think a little bit like us last year, momentum coming into the game is huge. They're going to be on a huge high after beating Vincent's. And I think if it goes into a battle, they're looking to get it maybe into the last 15, 20 minutes of the game. And if they can get it to that, they know they'll have the confidence to beat them. Even though there's probably a lot of pressure on Dr. Crokes. I think, you know, Cooper wants to win this. This will probably be the only thing he hasn't won in the game. He'll feel that little bit of pressure. And look, if they can get a bit of a lead earlier on, they'll be hard to stop. But I think if they can get it to the last 15 minutes, as a lot of games they have done, they'll Slochneil to do it.
Yeah. Is there a danger with Slochneil, though, that Vincent's was their All-Ireland? Like, because Vincent's are such an incredibly star-studded team. It's like they're waiting through 10 weeks, that bloody wet 10 weeks of a wait. And, you know, to beat Vincent, then to beat them, like, it takes a little bit of coming down off that maybe or something.
It does, but you know what? It was... There was one man that will bring them back down to earth, and that's Mickey Moran. He's probably the most down-to-earth manager you could get. Like, this is a man that applied for the job, originally didn't get it. But Slochneil will win the All-Ireland if they change their tactics. They cannot bring the big push up. They have to play a sweeper. Because O'Leary has too much space inside. Mm-hmm. That's the way Crokes want to play. They want a big open area around the D. Mm-hmm. O'Leary plays from the line. He spends more time beside the umpire than he does beside anyone else because he makes the long runs out and they leave space in front. Christy McCaig cannot mark Gooch tomorrow. Cannot mark Gooch. Let someone else have their day in their greatest game ever, but just keep Gooch quiet. McCaig needs to be free. He's intelligent enough to sit back and cover that space. But Mickey Moran doesn't change tactics.
Why, that's what worked with Connolly, was actually attacking him. And I remember hearing before, I wasn't at your county final, Conal, it was Andy McEntee tactic, whoever's Mark Connolly, go forward and throw him off his game. That's what works. You know, like Gooch will not want to follow Christy McKay. I often think that if you actually attack their danger man, if he's in the half forward line, you know, you can actually put him completely off his game.
You see, Gooch is playing deeper, but because he's been more instrumental in the setup of the play. He's got 30 possessions in the last game. That's phenomenal for any player. But again, when the Gooch gets the ball, that's a no-no. The Slot Neil can't let Gooch get 30 possessions tomorrow, or they can kiss goodbye to one or Ireland.
Yeah.
But I don't think they can sacrifice McKay just for the Gooch. But with Buckley in midfield again, O'Leary in the full forward line. Brosnan is a loss. He's not 100%. I don't know. Will he not play?
Look, it said today that he was. I think.
I don't know. But you know what? It's sometimes it's written in the stars. And what a fairy tale! What an example for club football. If Slot Neil did win it for a parish that set out.
I don't know if I'm cynical, but like there's such a love in for Slot Neil. I'm half rooting for Crokes. Maybe just I don't know. It's like, you know, like Leicester City last year, Slot Neil, and I'm like, all right, okay, I might go for Crokes here. This is getting a bit much.
So Mickey Moore's in trouble next year.
come here, give us quickly predictions here before we go to Mikey for questions. Conal.
Yeah, I think Slot Neil will. I'd like to see them do it. Maybe it's the anti-Kerry bit in me, but I'd like to see Slot Neil do it.
Okay, Joe.
I think Slot Neil as well, 2 or 3 points.
Okay. David.
Cool and Crokes, double. Put your money on it.
Cool and Crokes, double. Right.
Trust me.
I would never trust you, David. That's one thing I would never do. Mikey, have you got questions there for us?
I do indeed. We'll start with Michael McMullen, who has a question for Joe, I believe.
Joe, just on the Derry Armagh thing. Derry have won 3 of the last 4 Ulster clubs, but could never bring it into the county level. In Armagh, the McEntees and Oisin were always able to mix both. Why did you feel that was so?
I think if you're an honest player, and whatever camp you're in, you have to be honest and say you're going to give 100%. I think looking from the outside in Derry, me as an outsider looking in, say Derry are not united as a county camp. That's why there's so many good clubs have won all Ireland titles. Ballinderry, was the 3 or 4 titles in there now? So that's the difference. Whatever camp you're in, you have to be honest and give 100%. Derry don't do that as a group, but as a clubs in Derry, certainly 100% united in each other.
Okay, next up we have Robert, who has a question for David.
Hey, David. I'm just wondering, what was your best ever moment in Mayo jersey, being it social interactions or in the jersey itself?
Outside, man says, with the jersey on or off? one of my greatest footballing memories was probably one of the most frightening times of my life when I think it was 2006 when we were playing Dublin, and Mickey Moran was the manager at the time, and we went out on a game that I think was overlooked for a lot of what happened beforehand, but it was the day that Mayo took the hill, and we went on, and we were 7 points down, and going through my mind was, I'm in serious trouble now. 15 minutes to go, and we pulled it back and won by a point. For me, that was, you know what, I'll never win in Ireland as a player, but for me, I think we left here about 7:15 that morning. It was a good experience.
Whose idea was that to go down?
Joe Kiernan's.
Definitely not. We done the same thing, and I knew nothing about it until we went out. And I said, what the fuck are they doing down there? And it was the worst thing that could have happened. We done that against their own, and it shouldn't have happened. I knew nothing about it.
Yeah. Right. Mickey Moran, oh man, he wouldn't even curse. He's a God-fearing man. And to do any disrespect to a human being. And he was, come on, come on, come on, you made your point, come on. I said, no, Mickey, you're grand. Hold your waist.
It was funny, actually. Stephen McDonald's on the podcast earlier today, and he said Loud did it against G in Cross McGlen.
In a league match,
you were giving the speech before the game, and you got distracted, and the lads were wondering, what's wrong with you? These fuckers are warming up.
It's just good there, and you're stuck in it.
So you ran out, and it was actually war down at one end, and they had to retreat.
There was a wee bit of shouldering.
Yeah, okay. Okay, there was war, Steve McDonald. No, but there was a bit of
By the way, Stevie scored the winning goal in injury time that day.
Go away.
Yeah, we're right. Getting maybe 2 points.
So this has happened a bit more than we know. Mikey. Yeah.
Okay, we have a question from Fergal. How you doing, guys?
On the back of a really interest in the toughest series, is there an argument to say at this stage it's time to look at Gaelic football and see if it goes professional rather than just keep status quo as being amateur?
Joe?
No, I don't think we should go professional. I think the players should get better expenses to make sure that they're not losing out all the time. But no, I wouldn't like to see it go professional because you lose. You look what happened in rugby. The clubs vanished. The clubs are gone in rugby. Whereas the clubs is so important to us here. Everybody involved in the club gets so much enjoyment out of a club, and people work hard. And you're always hoping that one day you're going to be successful with your club. No, I certainly wouldn't like it.
And you think about it, and say if we're on the panel, and I'm full-time for Mayo for 3 years, and then I get dropped, or I get a serious injury, what do I go and do then?
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be a career. It is professional in every way, attitude, application, training. But we, you know, your players will need somewhere else to provide a living for themselves, because football won't provide it in a lifetime. 4 or 5 years, yes, to get well looked after, well expensed. Yeah. I think the way players are getting looked after now is excellent. Now, there's room for manoeuvre in a lot of areas, but I don't think we'll ever see. There's been professional managers, but not professional players.
Okay, we have one last question, and we're going to give it to the man who had 3 questions, so we're limiting him to one. Ron, you promised you'll only ask one question.
I will indeed. I was just wondering, in terms of Joe, in terms of Cross McGlynn's domination of club football, has he any thoughts as to how, why that didn't translate into Armagh's domination of all Ireland's, in terms of why didn't it happen that so many club titles didn't transform into all Ireland titles?
Joe, just before you answer that, can we get the hurlers ready? We're going to have a quiz now after this question.
Okay. Armagh won the All-Ireland in 2002, as we all know. We should have won at least one more, or maybe two more. And that's our fault as management, players. We things change. You know, the day before you win the All-Ireland, nobody knows how to win it. The day after you win it, everybody knows. And people do change, even only a slight little bit. Let it be that hunger, or just don't make that commitment, or aren't as loyal to each other, or start to do wee things, or wee groups appear. And like when I quit with Armagh, I look back and I seen where things changed. I remember us playing against Fermanagh in 2004. And now on a normal day, and that's no disrespect to Fermanagh, we should have beat Fermanagh. But we had 2 players or 3 players asking the county secretary, getting on the bus that day, is the club championship matches next week? Now, if you're prepared properly in your head, you're not thinking about club championships the following week. You should think about it at 5 o'clock after you do the job. The team that won the All-Ireland in 2002 wouldn't have asked those questions. So wee things happen, and that's, in my opinion, and that includes me as a manager, the players, the backroom staff, things changed, and it affected. That's why I admire Dublin so much at the minute for what they're doing and the way they're led and the way they're concentrating. And, you know, Dublin's the worst place in the world to be a winner because everybody wants a piece of you. And if Dublin can go and win 2 or 3 in a row, it'd be unbelievable.
Yeah, they have a pretty good media man now. You can't get near them, so yeah. they're well looked after. We'll get the hurlers up here now, and we're going to have an All-Ireland club-teamed quiz. And it's going to be footballers versus hurlers. David, you stand up there in between the two lads. You can get in here, boys. There is conferring allowed. You'll need one lad standing, lads, and two
right,
sitting.
Right, boys.
Are you there?
Right.
Paddy, you look brainy.
Ah, no, I'm okay. I'll stand.
That's fine.
All right. Question number one, and this is to the football. This is the county title round, right? So these should be easy enough considering there's 3 of you and you're conferring. This is to the football team. Who are the reigning Cork senior football champions?
No, we're just conferring, Willie. We're not.
Don't be wasting time here.
I think is it Ballincollig, is it?
No.
Oh, Nemo.
Is that your answer? Okay, no, you're wrong. No, it's not Nemo Rangers.
Hey.
You can't shout out answers. You're gone. It's not.
Should I mic? You're going to hear it.
We have it.
I know, lads. I had to take your first answer. It's not Nemo Rangers.
No,
so that's
it's Matikon. No, I didn't give you an answer.
Conan, you're keeping score there with a pen. Okay, so that's 0. Right, it's Carbery Rangers. So 0. You weren't getting that anyways.
No.
That's a lot more difficult than...
Don't open your mouth, boys. It's going to take us an answer.
Okay, here's question number one to the hurling team. Who are the reigning Laois hurling champions?
Boris Kilcotton.
Very good. It was. And that's on the way down to your house there, I'd say. Okay. Right, so it's 1-0 to the hurlers. Question number two for the football. Ramor United are county champions of what county?
Cavan.
Okay, well done, Joe.
Well done, Joe.
I never saw Paul McKinney looking more scared than I was.
And you didn't come far. You were going to get a snap.
I knew the two boys knew it.
He froze completely. All right. Question number two for the hurling team. Raharney are the county champions of what Leinster county?
Ah, jeez, that's easy. No, no.
They've won three of the last four, lads.
No, it's not.
Mead. Mead? You say Mead? What time, Colin?
Yeah, I'll have to push you for an answer, lads.
Wicklow?
No, Westmead. Okay, so it's 1-1. So this is question number three, last one in the county title round, and there's three parts to this question.
No, confer, Joseph.
What club have won most Derry County titles? How many titles do they have, and when did they last win? Now, you can get as many out of the three if you want. What Derry club has won most county titles? If you don't get the first one, you don't get the two bonus.
Go Bilahi. No. Come on. Go Bilahi.
I'll trust you.
Yeah.
No, when did the...
Go Bilahi. Go Bilahi.
Final answer. Yeah, okay, it's Bilahi. So you get the bonus. Do you know how many county titles they have?
We do.
If you get this, you can go to the last one. How many do they have?
Dungantine.
How many?
Dungantine.
What?
Dungantine.
Joe's your spokesman, right, David?
Turn off his mic there a little.
How many do they have, lads?
11.
11, no, 21. So you don't get the last
one. That's what I said the first time.
All right, question number three to the hurlers. What club have won most Cork hurling titles? No shouting, please, Paddy. That's Hughie.
Glen Rovers?
No, lads, it's Black Rock. Way out in front on 32.
Come on, Paddy.
So I think we're 2-1 to the footballers. All right, the next round is round two. What club does he play for round? Question one to the footballers. What club does Tomás O'Shea play for?
Nemo Rangers.
Nemo Rangers, okay. What club, this is question one to the hurling. What club does Michael Brick Walsh play for?
Strabelli.
Yes, well done. Question number two to the footballers. What club does Dermot Early play for?
I know it's not. No. Sarsfields.
Lads, don't shout out the answers.
Sarsfields.
Yeah. Okay. Question number two to the hurlers. What club does Shane Dooley play for?
Tullamore.
Tullamore, well done. You're good at this round, lads.
Damien is.
Question number three to the footballers. What club does Rory Kavanagh play for?
I know this.
Go on ahead.
St. Eunan's.
Yeah, St. Eunan's Letterkenny, right?
Yeah,
okay.
He said Letterkenny first.
Okay, and last one to the hurling team. What team does Lee Chin play for? Okay, Faith Harriers, that's it. Jesus, right, Damien. So what are the scores here, Conan?
You're on your own.
5-4 to the footballers, and now we're into the All-Ireland Club Finals round. This one, we're cranking it up a notch. You have to answer the hurling ones, and you have to answer the football ones. Oh. Right, so question one to the hurling team. Who did Cross McGlenn beat to win their last All-Ireland Club title?
I forget that one.
Who did Cross McGlenn beat to win their last one?
Cross Malina.
St. Bridges? Roscoe.
No, Gary Castle after a replay, if you remember.
How long ago now?
too late now, Damien. All right. Football team, question one. Who did Portumna beat to win their last All-Ireland club title?
No, I think.
No. You're a hurling man.
We have it.
Yeah, there's time, lads. We have we have to call you on this there.
What?
I don't think it was.
We have five seconds.
Was it Tonloy?
Tonloy, no. Mount Leinster Rangers from Carlow. Surprise packages. So I think we're on a draw here, Colin, are we?
No, they didn't get the last one right either. We're one up.
Oh, you didn't is right, yeah. Okay. Hurling team, question two. Salt Hill Knocknacarra won the All-Ireland Club in 2007 with two big money inter-county transfers. Can you name the two of them? What is that?
Maurice Sheridan and Michael Donlan.
Yes, very good. Did you have that, lads?
Sorry.
1 point, yeah.
1 point.
Yeah. Football team question two. St. Thomas's won the All-Ireland Club in 2013 to beat Kilmarnock Killotty in the final. How many Burke brothers started that final?
Many?
Here, come on. No helping.
So, no. I know how many finished and I know how many started.
Right, go on.
Do you know this?
No.
Five started and seven finished.
Five started, that was the question. Six finished.
Well, I got the point anyway.
Blood, not the blood, point.
Blood's up.
Smart man one, last man too smart.
All right.
Well done.
This is a football question for the hurling team. You have to get this one, lads. Caltra beat on Gaeltacht in the 2004 All-Ireland Club final. They scored 13 points. How many of the 13 did the Meehan brothers score?
So it's all Galway questions you're asking.
There's two Galway teams you're after asking.
Yeah,
there.
I didn't really think about that.
No.
12 is right. So it comes down to this one, lads. Who was Portumna's top scorer in the 2009 All-Ireland Club Hurling Final win over De La Salle?
I know it, but...
You know it.
Do you know it?
Oh, no, you want to
do you know it?
I'd say he's sitting up here, is he?
You could be right.
So
Paddy wasn't playing that day.
Are we going to leave it as a draw and just walk away and hold our heads up high?
No, there's no draw.
Typical Mayo. Typical fucking Mayo.
We get another day out, boys.
If you accept a draw, you won't walk away with your head held up high.
We get 5,000 the next time we come back. The next time again.
Right, lads, who are you going to go for?
Try Damien.
Damien Hayes is the correct answer. But I would have taken Joe Canning either. He got 9 points. Damien got 2-3. So the winners are the footballers. Give them a round of applause.
More luck.
I scored mine from play. Does that make any difference?
Yes, it does make a big difference. If they said Joe, they would have been wrong. So you're actually proving them right again. Listen, give them a round of applause. Thanks very much for coming. I'm not going to name the hurling football panel. The winners of the questions are, first is Jonathan, whatever you get. Second is Robert. Third is Michael. Fourth is Maura. And fifth is Ron. Good. Congratulations. You can pick up your prizes up the front. Good night.
'Cause it took me a long time to get here. Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.